holiness that is now present in your life that did not exist until you became the dwelling place of God. That sanctification, that holiness is needed in our homes today. It's need to be demonstrated in our grandchildren and the relationship you have with them. You see, holiness is the very nature of God. God is holy. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. And Isaiah declared in chapter 6, verse 3, declares, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." You see, this holy God, if you remember, has always had a desire to commune and fellowship and be interactive in the lives of His creation. He made us in His image. He made us a spirit being so that we could have fellowship with His spirit and He could fellowship with our spirit. And yet in the whole aspects of all of that, God has always been faithful to constantly be revealing that message to us. That we could say that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, that God demonstrated His love for each and every one of us, that while we were yet all sinners, Jesus died. But it was a lot more to the depth of God's desire for you and me and for Him to be a part of our individual lives. Because if you really want to be the mother that God wants you to be, then you need Him to be dwelling in you. If you really want to be the grandmother that God wants you to be, you need to have God's holiness dwelling in you. Romans 1, chapter 19 through 20, Paul states something here that is very, very emphatic. He said, "That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." I always knew there was a God. Even as a young lad, even as a little boy, every time I aspect of my being, and so did you. So did you. There is no doubt in my mind that God has revealed Himself inwardly and to all of us as spirit beings. God has made it evident in the inner man that He is. Only a fool would say in their hearts, "There is no God." You know there is. You know there is. And only those who would take the truth and the revelation and everything that God has revealed to them and try to push it aside and try to make it and turn it into a lie would not have that continual conviction that God is and that He is in us and He's revealed Himself to us. God loves you so much that He not only wanted and let His Son die, God wants to be the intimate part of you and who you are. God wants to fill you with His holiness. He wants to dwell in you through the Holy Spirit. That was and is the element of what we deal with today as the church, the body of Christ, over which He is the head. He said, "Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes has His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse." No man's going to stand before God someday and say, "I didn't know you existed." The very truth that nature presounds to us, His wisdom, His power, His design, and every aspect of it substantiates that not only is there a God, there has to be a designer behind every aspect of what we see in front of our eyes. Now, we can deny that. We can take the truth that we see and turn it into a lie. We can refuse to acknowledge that. We all have that ability. We can do that. But that does not remove the fact that every leaf that has broken out on a tree this spring is going to have to receive 26 minutes of sunlight, and if it doesn't, it will die. Now, you suppose that tree said, "Wow, I got to make sure that every leaf on me, when it breaks out on my branches, is going to have at least 26 minutes of sunlight, because if I don't make that possible for that leaf, it's going to die. It's going to die." Well, I could go on, but I'm not going to, because every tree you look at tells you there is a God. He designed that tree and put the leaves exactly how they have to be in order for that leaf to live. He designed you to live too, didn't He? It's all around you. It's everywhere. There's no doubt about it. You can see it. But there is one thing that is basic. Holiness belongs to God alone. Only He is holy. And only as you and I look upon this God that has indeed made us in His image, can God ascribe and give to you and me that holiness. And He's able and desiring to do that. He wants to come and take up His dwelling in you as a person, spirit to spirit, and fill you with His holiness. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 again, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the living God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Are you ignorant of this? Are you ignorant of this? You see, God's power in every aspect of it is holy power. There is no doubt about that. God's love is a holy love. God's presence in your life is a holy presence. It isn't just God dwelling you. It's a holy God that dwells in you. The tabernacle had the holy place and the holy of holy because it was the dwelling place of God. The temple was holy only because God dwelt there. This building isn't holy. It's just the building that those who are filled with the holiness of God can come together in one place and give God the glory and praise His holiness that dwells within us. But there, holy things are not holy in themselves. They point beyond themselves to the one who is holy. And that one is God. You see, sanctification, and there's two concepts of it, which we'll refer to next week, but the point is today, is to make reference to this element of holiness. Sanctification is a gift that God gives to us. It's a gift from God. He offers it to every human being. It's available to everyone. But if it is going to be yours, and you're going to have His holiness in you, you have to seek it. There's no doubt about it. God came seeking you in Jesus Christ. It's your turn. But God is not far from any one of us. At least happily, if we will seek after Him, we will find Him. He's not playing hide and seek with you, nor with me. He wants to have that relationship with us. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. We have to have a heart that desires that relationship with God. We got to have a heart that wants to have this relationship with this Creator God that created us in His image. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men, and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So sanctification is something we need to be pursuing, something we have to be seeking. You see, the gift of sanctification enables you and me today, if you will, to be able to remain and to live in the world in which we live in today, because this world is under the power of the evil one. This world is a kingdom of darkness. When you became a Christian, God transferred you out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, placed you into the kingdom of His dear Son, and He then came and took up His place in your heart, in your life, and began dwelling there and filled you with His presence. Are you with me? The point issue is that, again, you and I have to be pursuing it. We got to be seeking it. We got to want that God, sanctification, for God to be able to set us apart from this world. Why? Because sanctification, it empowers you to live in this world, but not to be of the world. That's the whole aspect of it. You cannot, in and of yourself, live in this world and live above it and live apart from it without God's help, in God's power, God's spirit, God's love, God's peace dwelling in you. You cannot do it on your own. It's impossible. God knew that. And so He sent you and me the privilege of having a present helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell. Remember, He is Holy Spirit, okay? So as you and I think about our text, He says, "I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves." What is the world looking for? Looking for happiness. You know the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness depends on circumstances and things and life and whatever. Joy is a gift from God, a joy unspeakable, full of glory, full of Him, His presence, His holiness, His truth as it is revealed to you in Scripture. Joy can't be taken from you. Happiness can. Happiness can. And it is an endless pursuit, people seeking after happiness. I don't meet a lot of people that are happy in the world. I meet a lot of Christians who are filled with joy. And there's a big difference, don't you think? My joy made full of them. Huh? Wouldn't you like to be filled with joy? Okay? I've given them what? Your word. All the world has, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from whom? You know, Satan goes about like a roaring lion, devouring, destroying people's lives. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He only has a very short time, and he's angry. You know he's angry? He's full of wrath. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your life. He'll do anything and everything, destroy your brain, your every aspect of your being. He's doing a masterful job out there. You know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah? Well, point is, he says, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. You cannot be kept from the evil one except God helps you. Okay? Then he says, they are not of the world even as I'm not of the world. Then what does he say? Sanctify them in what? What? Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world for their sakes. I sanctified myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in. You remember what he said? I am the truth. Jesus didn't say, I am a representation of it. He didn't say, I have some of it. He said, I am the truth. He sanctified himself in this world by being and living truth, the truth of God. An aspect of God. He was the Word of God. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also those who believe in me through their words. Who's the "their" referred to? The apostles. You and I have the writings of the apostles. I've come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I know what I needed to do to become a Christian, be saved, because it says so in this book. This book was divinely inspired. Holy men of God were moved along by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what it says. He says, first thing, however, you need to know is that this book is not a matter of private interpretation. Peter says it isn't a matter of private interpretation. God has spoken. And you and I will be judged according to what has been written. This book is true. Jesus says, my word is spirit and it is truth. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. So even as that, Father and me, you and me, that they also may be in us. Notice, you and I be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prayed that we would be one, that we'd be unified in our concepts and our relationship with God. Okay? That's so much a part of who we are. Okay? So when you and I think of being sanctified, we have to know that truth has to be a part of it. We live in a world of relative. Nothing is true today. There is no black-white. Everything is gray. You know that, don't you? And if you take a stand for truth, then the world's going to hate you. You hear what I just said? You take a stand for something today. Used to be if you took a stand for something, you were respected, highly regarded. Not today. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that's unloving, unkind, and whatever, you know. Think about it. What did you think they must have thought about Jesus? Jesus said they hated me. And they'll hate you. That's what he said. Okay? So I want you to think with me this morning. Because I believe this book is truth. I don't believe it contains the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. I believe it's inspired. All Scripture is inspired of God by the Holy Spirit. This book alone sanctifies and sets us apart from a world of lies and deception. It's the only one that will. My question is, as a mother, as a grandmother, how much of the book do you know? How much of your children's life were grounded in truth? And how much of your grandchildren's lives today are you spending with them, growing and planting into themselves and into their young minds and heart the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save their souls? It's a great responsibility, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And when you talk about being sanctified, they are not in the aspects of that. Let me just tell you this. The reason people are filled with anxiety and fear and turmoil and taking all kinds of pills to sleep and everything else is because they know they don't have things in control. They know they don't have anything in control. You have nothing in control. And if God is in control, you ought to be frustrated and filled with anxiety and fear. Because the only one who can take control of anything is God. And the reason you got God, when this world and this country stopped acknowledging God, look how it's gotten out of control. We've taken Him out of our school systems. We've taken Him out of this and out of that. We don't want to acknowledge God. We don't want Him in anything. Why? Because it'll bother our conscience. We'll give kids a low self-esteem. We'll affect them negatively and on and on and on. I know what changed my life. It was the Gideons coming to our little school, country school, putting up a flannel graph and giving me a burgundy Bible, a little New Testament. And before I was a senior, before I was a freshman in high school, I had read that burgundy Bible through 8 times. I counted them. And that living word that I read began to permeate into my heart and into my mind. And I used to go up on this big hill up from the house, laying there in the high grass, watching the clouds, and I was talking to God. I did. My mom and dad were alcoholics. You know that, don't you? My house was filled with smoke and swearing and cussing. You know that, don't you? I remember mom's eyes black and blue. I remember mouth with blood running out of her mouth. I remember all that. I remember hiding under a bed when my dad was coming home. I remember seeking the woods and going because I wanted to know, was he drunk or not drunk? Are you like the lift? No. What helped me? What controlled me? Well, there was still mom. Now, in depth inside of her, even though she wasn't perfect, dysfunctional in so many different ways, God used her to be able to help me in so many different ways in my personal life. She sanctified me. And I'll speak more about that in a bit. You see, Acts 20:32, Paul commended the elders at Ephesus. He says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up among all those who are sanctified. He commended them to the word of God that is able to build, create, edify, strengthen, encourage. That is what sanctifies us, is this book. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, this is the greatest psychiatry verse in the Bible. Seriously, okay? He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete. What? God is able to take my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, and make me perfect, complete, and whole? You've heard of holistic psychology? Holistic that? That's the work of God. God is the only one who can put you back together after you have fallen and make you whole, spiritually whole. That's our main root problem. It's not what we know. It's not intellectualism. It's heart problem. And so when you and I become Christians, you remember, born again, God gives us a new heart and he puts his spirit in it and begins to become the creator of our lives. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Remember that? We're all new creatures in Christ. And we're being renewed day by day. God is at work in you to accomplish his will and his purpose. And what God has started, he's able to complete. Is God at work in your life as a mother, as a grandmother, as a person? Who in the world is controlling your life? Humanism is destroying America. Narcissism is growing like wildfire all over our country. It's destroying our homes. It is. My son is a psychiatrist, a Christian psychiatrist. And he said, Dad, it is pathetic what I have to deal with today. He says, there's no way I can even begin to help a narcissist. Why? Because if you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the latter times will be perilous days, that man will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Think about it. Think about it. And how out of control do we see? In 1 Corinthians 5:14, simply stated, it says the love of Christ constrains or holds us together. What's holding you together? What's holding you? Don't tell me as a mother you don't need something holding you together. Huh? As a grandmother? I mean, as a man? As a male? You try to do it. Try to keep yourself together. Try to find. You can read all the books in the world that's out there written on the psychiatry. Or you can listen to, what's his name on television, Mr. Osteen with a big smile. He never quotes the Bible, never uses it. But he'll tell you what you have to do to be happy and how to get wealthy, rich, and wise and whatever. Wow, that's selling today, isn't it? Isn't it? It sure is. But he never quotes the Word of God. He never opens the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that? Amazing, isn't it? But he said that the Word of God, Jesus said, is truth that sanctifies us. And this book is truth. This book is truth. Okay? Paul's testimony in Galatians 2:20 goes in this, and this gives me the insight that I have today. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. When was Paul crucified with Christ? When were you put to death? When was the old man done away with, the body of sin destroyed? That has to be done, and only God can do that. You can't do that. It's an impossibility for you to do that within yourself. But in Romans 6:4-7, Paul says that we, including himself, because you remember Ananias had come to Saul, said, Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. So Paul was baptized, and he says, we were what? We, he says, we were buried with him, Christ, through baptism into death. Why? We were united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. You remember in Ephesians, it says that we were raised up with him, seated with him in heavenly places. You're on the right hand of God right now, as far as God is concerned. Knowing this, he says, that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin would be done away with, that we would no longer be a slave to sin. And don't tell me this world hasn't sold its souls out to sin today. Don't tell me that. The world of pornography and all that world out there, billions of dollars are being spent just in America on the internet, and you name it, becoming enslaved to it. Bible says that whatever you yield yourself to and serve, you become a slave to it. There is nothing more pathetic and more sickening to the brain that addicts a person more so than. And if you read the scriptures, you'll find how many times it refers to sexual immorality. It does. And we're having a heyday out there in our country today. We really are. So knowing this, the old person was supposed to be done away with. The person was crucified. You were put to death. You don't live anymore. Christ is supposed to be living in you. Amen? Now think about it. Note verse 6:22 of the same chapter of Romans. He says, but now being freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Think about that. What's the benefit? Sanctification. What is sanctification? It's being filled with the holiness and the Spirit of the living God. So Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the authority of Jesus for the remission or taking away of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise to you, your children, and to as many as the Lord God shall call. That was the beginning of God's work of sanctification on Pentecost, where he promised to those people who gladly received the word and were baptized that their bodies would become the temple of the living God. And that started the process of sanctifying the world. for the remission of sins, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was nothing ever that God's Spirit came and dwelt in that was not first sanctified and made pure before God by blood, the washing. The temple, every object, tabernacle, every object was washed with blood, signifying the fact that it was cleansed. It was cleansed. God will not come into your heart, into your life, until first the blood of Jesus has been applied, washes and cleanses the inner man, makes you complete and pure within. Then God will, through the Holy Spirit, come and dwell in you. That makes sense? That makes sense? You bet it does. So pursue, if you will, sanctification, which no one will see God. Just taking a second thought. I want you to realize the power of sanctification very quickly. For in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul writes and he says that if a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not put her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. You understand the power of a holy life living in a world of unbelief? You know how many men I have known in my ministry who became Christians simply because the wife lived a God-fearing, holy life and example before him that he couldn't deny? He couldn't deny it. And you know how many of their kids and how many wives I know personally whose children are in ministry today, even though the husband never did become a Christian, but the wife was a Christian and her life sanctified her children. They became active members in the body of Christ all over the world. Preachers, if you will. Elders. I had two elders that were raised basically in a home where the husband never did become a Christian. But she lived her life before him. Now, I've seen an accident. I've had it happen where the man basically does become a Christian and immerse him into Christ. And that's a wonderful experience. So how do you know that if you live a holy, sanctified life before your husband, set the example of a Christ-like spirit, you cannot win your husband? And how do you know, husband, that if you live a sanctified, holy life before your wife, who's not a believer, she may become one? Huh? How do you know? Now what it says? But the children are holy. You ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Anybody ever had their mouth washed out with soap? Oh, boy, you have missed some. My mother, if you got us swearing, we got our mouths washed out with soap. She did not allow profanity in our house. I remember going out behind the barn. I smelt this thing. I walked around behind. Here was my older brother and my Uncle Stan, and they were smoking cigars. Wasn't too long, all of a sudden there was something voiced behind me, and there was Mom. And you know what she did? She had those boys smoke those cigars and smoke them right down to nothing. And they got sicker than dogs and started throwing up all over the place, and Vic never smoked after that, and neither did I. I have never smoked, never taken a drag. Never. Why? 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 Why did I learn such work ethic? Because I worked out there with my mom in the garden and the flower beds and did this and whatever. And I saw the sweat pouring off in her. And if she did nothing else, she sanctified me. I am not afraid of work. I love work. I saw my mom. I saw her. I watched her. And if you will, just take that little insert that's in your bulletin today. When you were not looking, this is what I saw. Moms, grandmothers, good grief. What a powerful element you have to make a difference in the world. It starts with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Marilyn spent hours with my children. She had this little Bible story book, had questions at the end of it. And she would spend night after night reading those stories, asking my children the question, etc., and then having prayer until I got to the point I realized how important it was for me to go in and get on my knees with my kids beside their beds and pray with them. And what the fruit of it is unbelievable. The second generation of my grandchildren are all going into ministries. I'm serious. They want to serve. They want to give their life to something beyond just what the world can offer them. They want to make a difference. What matters? You can climb the ladder of success. You can get up there and become wealthy. But what will be your legacy? What will people remember you for? The cup of water you gave them? Taking them some groceries when they were hungry? Taking some clothes to the house when you knew the children were in need? What do you think they're going to remind and remember you for? We're a culture today, people are selling their souls for success. They really are. But if you want to leave a legacy, a eulogy that's going to cause you to be remembered as a mother, as a grandmother, as a person, then do what it does, what matters, what makes a difference, and going to make a difference in people's lives. You sanctify them with the Word of God. If you're a school teacher, what an opportunity you have. Because I had Christian school teachers when I was in. I had a superintendent that paid people to come from Grand Rapids 3 days a week and tutor me to catch me up because I was so far behind coming out of a country school. He was a Christian elder in the Church of Christ at Vesterburg. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't know what I'd do if he hadn't been willing to do that. If he hadn't been willing to do that, think about it. What's the difference you can make in this world today? You see, I thank God for the mother I had. I had to get old to appreciate who she was. You know that, don't you? Because she was, I won't tell you what she was. Anybody been swept with a razor strap? Thank you, Mike. We got two of us. This was a double one. Whack-whack. You know, it wasn't so much the whack. It was the whack-whack that scared me. It really was. But I know you can't do that today because if you do, your kids will take you to court. Isn't that amazing? How we've swallowed the pill of the secular mind and look at what we've bred in our culture today. Disrespect, dishonor. You know, seriously. Seriously. Happy moms. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Grandmother's Day. What a wonderful impact you have. You really do. Sanctify your husband. Sanctify your children. Sanctify your grandchildren. Teach them the Word of God. Make that your number one priority. And then let God's Word, let the seed of the kingdom accomplish its purpose. Because we're sanctified by truth. Right? We're sanctified by truth. Love you much. You are a good, wonderful bunch of God-fearing women. And there will never be anyone that has helped me and made me any more than who I am than my wife. She's been patient. And she's worked with me over the years in that aspect of her. But I've also appreciated Marilyn more than anything else for the five beautiful children she's given me. And for the 14 grandchildren that we have now today. And how we can go to a graduate and have them go out of the way to hug her. They love their grandma. They love her. I'm there, you know. Oh, hi, Grandpa. Hi, my grandma, grandma, grandma. That makes my heart feel good. It makes my heart feel good to see their love and respect for Marilyn. So God bless you today. And remember those eyes that are looking, that you may not know they're watching you, but they are. And they're learning, aren't they? Get your life sanctified by allowing God's Spirit to indwell you. Let Him fill you with His holiness. Demonstrate that. Demonstrate it. Shall we stand together?